Last night, Pastor Danny gave us a great message and really focused us toward our relationship with God. Danny and Deborah have been for, I was going to say centuries. Let's go with decades. Let's go. Have been just loved and cherished parts of Church of the Rock. And I know as Danny speaks, you're going to hear his heart. You're going to hear some things that are actually for you today. So don't just listen, right? Take it in and receive what he has today. Let's give him a little cheer, guys. Pastor Danny, come on up.
All right, Church Camp 2021, night two. I'm excited. This is going to be a fun evening. Question, though, how many people? Pastor Aubrey asked you to put your hand up for this earlier, but let me see that again. How many people just arrived here for tonight? They missed the session yesterday. Keep those hands up for a second. Oh, yeah, quite a few, actually. Well, you missed a great night last night. Not trying to make you feel bad in any way. In fact, if anything, you get the better deal because your camp experience will be more concentrated because it's spread over less nights. You see what I did there? Span that with a positive twist. But we had a great time, and I just want to encourage those that are here that just arrived for the session tonight that this is going to be incredible. I don't just mean the preaching, although I got a feeling that's going to be pretty good too. But not talking about the preaching, this encounter with the Lord. Amen. And we can't just, you know, blow in and blow out and just say, yeah, well, that's great, I encountered the Lord. Just think about what that means, that we as a rebellious group of created beings, that we get to experience and encounter the tangible love of Christ here on earth in this broken and fallen world because of his great love for us. Is that not incredible? Amen. Like, that really is incredible. I think we should take a moment just to reflect on how incredible that is. And I want to encourage you that if you have not encountered the love of God, I want to encourage you, have your open heart because God wants to meet with you. Jesus loves you so much and he wants to meet with you tonight. And so I just want to recap last night. The theme of this whole week is it's personal. And what I want to encourage you to do is look at your personal walk with God. And my goal here, my only goal here in these collection of talks this week is to stir you and inspire you in such a way that your personal relationship with God would be deepened, strengthened, enriched, that you would be inspired and stirred to pursue the heart of God more than you are currently. And I believe that for us as believers, that should be something that we do every day, that every day we expect to be transformed. It's called spiritual formation, where we're transformed to be a little bit more like Christ that day, and we do that in mature in our spirituality. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you have a Bible with you this morning, this evening rather, you can used to preach in the mornings. If you have a Bible this evening, you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 51. We're going to start at verse 10. Psalm 51. This is King David writing this psalm. It's in response to the little slip up with Bathsheba. We'll get back to that later. And Nathan the prophet confronts David. And part of his repentance psalm, should we say, is found in verse 10 here. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. We talked about that last night, didn't we? The joy of being found. David, he's praying this. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And while you've got your Bible out, skip backwards into 2 Samuel chapter 12. It'll be on your screens as well. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll start with verse, what do you got there? We'll start with verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, Nathan the prophet confronted David after the slip up with Bathsheba. And then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. And the title of tonight's message is The Struggle is Real. The struggle is real. If you need an alternative to that, that's a little bit more pokey in the eye, stop faking it. That's the second title. You can pick whichever one you want, but officially, it's The Struggle is Real. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. God, we thank you that you are a mighty God and that you can come into this world and penetrate our circumstances, and there is no limit to your power and to your reach. And so, God, I pray you would move in this place this evening, that you would touch hearts, that you would touch minds, that you would touch souls, that we would encounter you in a way that we would get up from our seats at the end of the night, never being the same again. God, I pray that you would cultivate a heart of expectation for what you're going to do in this place tonight. We love you. Everything is for you. It's to you. It's about you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in this place. In your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. So last night we talked about a shared experience that all of us have had recently with the COVID lockdowns. And you know, we were cut off from our congregations, cut off from our friends. Workplaces were closing. At one point, we could not gather with anyone at all, like zero. And we were just completely isolated with our family. And then we discovered we actually don't really like our family that much. And so there was, you know, domestic violence increasing and mental health increasing. And just a terrible time for society. And before I share with you my little COVID story, I want to ask you, how did it feel last night, by the way? Was it okay? Yeah, yeah. Like, don't applaud me. What I mean by that was it a bit too raw for you? Because tonight we can go one of two ways. I can keep it light and fluffy, or we can go deep again. Which one would you prefer? You want to go deep? Hey, Aubrey, I'm just giving the people what they want to hear. They want to go deep with this. Encore. I want to share with you something that is probably one of the most deepest and vulnerable struggles that I have. And the reason is because I want to challenge you tonight that you would stop faking it, that you would admit that the struggle is real. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I thought it would be good to start by modeling it for you. So I would like to model for you what it looks like when we say the struggle is real. I'm struggling. I'm not doing well in this area. I need help. And I'm wrestling with something. I'm not going to fake it anymore. I'm not going to pretend. I'm going to say, this is a struggle. Guys, okay with that? You want to hear that? Yeah? All right. Because we could go the light and fluffy. I would prefer that way at this point. But all right. So this is what I'm going to share with you. COVID. I'm going to share with you this true story. You can ask Deborah. I've shared this with her. True story. During COVID, this is what my thinking was. I thought, you know, this is a great time to get in shape. I thought this is a brilliant time to get in shape because there's no family dinners, so there's no Thanksgiving, there's no Christmas, there's no Easter, there's no family gatherings, there's no social gatherings, there's no parties, so nobody's peddling nachos on me. This is great. I can't even leave my home. I'm stuck at home. And so I thought, hey, this is a great time to get in shape. I have all this time. I don't need to commute. I'm not even, you know, working at that point. And so I can just exercise all day long and eat lettuce all day long. And what will happen is I'll get really, really slim and good looking. That was my thought. Honestly, this is my thought. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I bet you in the room this size, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about when you wrestle with things like image. And I'll tell you why, because I'm not a big guy. I know I look it right now, but I'm not a big guy. I'm just like I'm trapped in a big guy's body, but I'm actually an athletic guy. I really am. And COVID, it took me by surprise because I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose 20 pounds during COVID. And I've only got about 25 left to go. Okay? Oh, you laugh, but the struggle's real. And this shirt, by the way, I'm wearing black because it's slimming. Did you notice that? Black is very slimming. Is it working? Yeah? Yeah, thank you, Derek. It's working, he says. This shirt used to button up. but it doesn't now. So I've had to put on a black undershirt for your benefit, by the way, because I didn't think preaching chest-free was a good option. But the struggle's real for me. I have to accept the fact that it's difficult. And so Deborah and I, we have this conversation. We're both 41 this year. And so, you know, we're getting a little bit older. And so we've had lots of conversations about our health. Lots of conversations. And she goes, you should do this. And I say, no, that's not how I do it. I do it this way. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're looking at Deborah and saying, you should probably adopt her way. It seems to be working. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Whatever method she's telling you, listen to her, because look, it seems to be working. But before you judge me, have you ever heard of this little thing called metabolism? Yeah, exactly. Metabolism. Me and Deborah have two completely different metabolisms. She is blessed with a Pastor Keith-like metabolism. I am blessed with a Pastor Aubrey-like metabolism.
Don't drag me into your
Dude, I didn't know it would get that much applause. I really didn't. Let me say it again. Just kidding. But the struggle's real. The struggle is real. And Pastor Aubrey and myself, maybe Glenn, I'm not going to go any further, don't worry. But we're great at wrestling because we have a large body mass. And we're way better at wrestling than running. And you get some people, and you see them in marathons, they're great at running. So there's a bit of a metabolism issue here, okay? But I don't want that to be my excuse. So this is what I want to do. I wanted to share with you my deepest, darkest struggle during COVID. And honestly, this was it, because this is what I was thinking. So Pastor Aubrey says, would you speak at church camp? Yeah, I'd love to. It's always a yes. I would love to. And so then I started looking at the calendar. And I don't remember exactly when you asked me, but I was like, man, I got like 19 weeks to get into the best shape of my life. This is great. Deborah, put the cookies away. This is happening. 19 weeks. Tuesday hits, and things aren't going so well. So Sunday hits, I'm thinking, okay, Monday morning, I've got 18 weeks to get into shape. And so I start off really good. Monday's going good. Tuesday's going good. By Wednesday, the full sleeve of Oreos has disappeared. And I think, that's okay, Monday's coming. I can start again. I got 16 more weeks. And I'm telling you, this went on and on and on. And I was pretty good Monday through Wednesday. But closer to the weekend, Satan started working in our home. It's the only way I can describe it. And things started to get unraveled. Until Monday came. And I was like, oh, I got 3 more days to get into the best shape of my life before Wednesday when I'm preaching at church camp. Clearly it's not working for me. And so this is so embarrassing to share with you. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to be this guy. I really don't. And before you say, well, then don't be, that's easier said than done. And anyone that has wrestled with trying to lose a few pounds, you know the struggle is real. And yeah, thank you. Amen to that, whoever that was. The struggle is real. And I have to accept that. Now, just for the record, I'm not giving in and I'm not saying, oh, this is just how I'm going to be. Because guess what? Monday morning, I'm going to start all over again. And I'm going to try and resist Deborah's bacon. And I'm going to try and exercise some more. But at 41 years old, things are getting more and more difficult. But the struggle is real. And I want to go on record to say that to you and to model to you, this is a struggle for me. And frankly, I am so embarrassed that as a 41-year-old man, I have been married 20 years and not, praise the Lord, not one time have I had eyes for another lady. I have faithfully and diligently worked in our family in the area of finances. We have Kijiji furniture in every room. We have our minivan. Anybody seen our minivan? It is the most brutal minivan you'll ever see. But guess what? There's no payments on it. I have been so diligent with our finances. And I've been so diligent and faithful in our marriage. I am a man that can accomplish many things. But I also like cake. And this is my downfall, is that I end up tripping over something that is so small that, frankly, I cannot believe I can't say no. There must be something broken and wrong inside of me that I can't say no to the baked goods. And it's all the carbs. You take meat and wrap it in bread, I am in. Sausage rolls, hot dogs, I am in. It is a very difficult time. And I wanted to confess this to you tonight to say, this struggle for me is real. Many of you guys would know this. that about 2 summers ago, I had lost about 40 pounds. I was looking good. I've shown you pictures. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, I can button up my shirt. This feels good. I'm not sweating all the time. This is how life was meant to be. And then what happened is I reached my goal weight, and I said, hey, I don't have to diet anymore. Bring on the Oreos. Before you know it, 10 pounds went on. True story, Glenn, I said, 10 pounds, that's not a problem. It's just 10 pounds. Everyone's in the last 10 pounds. Not a big worry. Then another 10 went on. And I said, oh, that's fine. I'm like halfway between where I was and my goal. Not an issue. A couple more weeks went by. Well, not weeks. That's gaining weight at a fast rate. A couple more months went by. I gained another 10. And I'm like, okay, it's quite a bit far away from my goal. So I just chose to ignore it. And a few more months went by and another 10. And so I get back to all 40 back on. And this is what I tell myself. Listen closely. This is what I tell myself. Well, really, 10 pounds is a pretty small amount of weight for a guy of my stature. So I'm only 10 pounds away from being 10 pounds away from the halfway mark. And if I'm only 10 pounds away from the halfway mark, that means I've literally only got 10 pounds to go till I'm in the last 10 pounds. Seriously, this is my thought. I've even told this to Deborah. What is wrong with me? And I realized that what I had done is I had taken these 40 pounds and said it's really only 10 pounds. But my shirts say otherwise. And I've had to realize it's not 10 pounds. It is 40 pounds. I need to stop faking it. I need to stop kidding myself and admit that the struggle is real. And here's why. It's hard to move on. If we can't accept that the struggle is real, if we can't confess and be honest about where we're at, it's hard to get past that. One of the things I've been doing to pay the bills in this season is I've been buying a car that needs some work, and I fix it up, and then I sell it for a little bit of profit. Very difficult to make a profit doing that. I try my best. So I buy this car, unsafetied, not a problem. Take it to get it safetied. 2 wheel bearings. One side, front, rear, 2 control arms. It's not that big of a deal. I ordered all the stuff, $150, not a problem. I wait a week. I slave every day for a week ripping this car apart. The bearings were rusted in. The nuts and bolts were rusted on. I have these amateur Canadian Tire tools. I went to Princess Auto, bought tools, broke the tools, returned them, bought more, broke them again. Finally, I get the parts. I put them in the car. Week of sweating, filthy, covered in dirt, lying on the garage floor. Finally, I get it together, get it safetied, passes a safety, no problem. I'm driving home from the safety place, big loud snap, all the lights go on, 4x4, ABS, brakes, all the lights go on. Thinking, what did I do? Turns out it was completely unrelated to the work I did. The axle snapped. Pretty significant on a vehicle when an axle snapped. So my neighbor and I pushed it into my garage, and I was so frustrated. I was defeated at this point. So I ordered another axle, got cleaned up, took a shower and chilled, rested for the weekend. The next week, spent all that week pulling the car apart, getting the axle out, sent me the new axle. I go to put it in. They sent me the wrong axle. I'm like, the Lord's trying to teach me something here. And so then this is what happens. I send it back again, another week. The thing's sitting there. Nothing's happening to it. I get the right axle. I put it in. It's all good to go. I go for a test drive, and praise the Lord, would you know it, this car runs flawlessly. No problem at all. It drives great. It's beautiful. No warning lights. Everything's good. But something in me said, I should probably scan this car. I have a scanner. So I plugged it in and I scanned it. And sure enough, the right rear wheel speed sensor was not picking up a signal. What that means in a car, by the way, is that you're eventually going to trigger some massive lights on your dashboard. And so I said, that's fine. So I ordered a new wheel speed sensor, put it in. That wasn't the problem. Issue was still there. It was the bearing they sent me initially is defective. I said to Deborah, I'm done. I just want to go burn this car down. And right now you're all thinking, never buy a car from Danny. That's probably sound advice. I would encourage you not to. So I said to Deborah, I'm done. I'm defeated. I'm completely done. I can't do this. I'm absolutely defeated with this thing. And here's the thing. Listen closely to this. The car actually ran just fine. I could sell it as it was. It would pass the test drive, no problem. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that within 7 to 10 days, eventually, All the lights are going to come on the dashboard, the transmission light, the 4x4 light, the disc brake light, everything's going to light up like a Christmas tree, and the car is going to go into limp mode, and the person that bought it is going to be pretty frustrated. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. What I was dealing with here is a car that, even though on the surface it looked fine, there was something very much wrong. And I think what we do as believers is we often go around and we smile and we say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was going to get the video clip, but I didn't have time. You guys seen the TV show Friends? There's this one scene where Ross walks in on his ex-girlfriend kissing someone and he gets all awkward about it and he goes, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I don't even do it justice, but you ever been in that situation where you're so not fine and someone asks you and you respond with, I'm fine. And it's all awkward and your voice gets all squeaky. That's exactly what we can do in our walk with God if we're not honest with ourselves. And I really want to encourage you. What I'm going to do tonight is again, it's a personal relationship with God. I'm not going to ask you to share anything with anyone, but I want you to examine your heart and say, what do I need to be honest with God about? What do I need to stop faking it? What do I need to confess to the Lord and say, God, I can't do this. This is a struggle of mine. I need to be real. And we see this in the story, the text I was reading. It's the story of David. And I'm not going to assume you know the story. I'll give you the quick recap. But David, second king of Israel, second to Saul, considered the greatest king of Israel. And you know the story, as a shepherd boy, he gets anointed to be the next king. He goes and he slays Goliath. It's this beautiful moment of triumph and victory in his life. He goes on and he gets invited to the palace and he's singing songs for King Saul because King Saul's being tormented by spirits and David to the rescue again. He goes out into battle and he's this incredible military commander. And everyone starts bragging and saying he's way better than Saul, the current king. And so Saul gets all mad and angry and jealous and he chases David and David's off hiding for years and years. He's off hiding. Now this is the future king of Israel that the prophet Samuel anointed when he was a mere child. The future king of Israel is being pursued by Saul and it gets really ugly. And then eventually David does become king just as the prophecy had happened. But then he sees Bathsheba. And not going to get too graphic. There's some children in the audience. But he sees Bathsheba, and he is with her. He knows her, so to speak, biblically speaking. And a pregnancy ensues. Now, listen very closely. At this point, he could have listened to Danny McVeigh's message at camp week night 2, 2021, if we had a time machine, that says you need to own this. You need to confess this. You need to say, I've messed up. I've made a mistake. I need to confess to the Lord that the struggle is real. I have given in to something I ought not to have, and I need help. David's at a fork in the road. And what he does instead is he decides to cover it up. Now listen real closely here. He decides to cover it up by inviting Bathsheba's husband back, Uriah, and tricking him to sleep in with his wife. And he doesn't do it. He's an honorable man. So again, David, he says, well, I'll just kill him. I'll just kill him. And so he sent Uriah out into an ambush to kill him, where he could take Bathsheba as his own to cover up his sin. Now, listen to the timeline on this. So the prophet Nathan, God speaks to Nathan and says, go to David and tell him a story. So the prophet Nathan goes up to David. He says, King David, he says, I have a story for you. I need to know what you feel about this situation. And he said, there's this rich man and he has loads and loads of sheep and cattle. But then there's a poor man and he has one baby lamb. And he treats that like his own. He loves this lamb. He raises this lamb. It sleeps in his arms. He feeds this lamb. It's like a daughter to him. And a traveler comes to town. And the rich man, instead of taking one of his own multiple impersonal cattle, he decides to take the lamb from the poor man, the only one that he had, and he slaughters the lamb and presents it as a meal to this traveler. And so the prophet Nathan says to David, what do we do here? And David is outraged. He says, excuse me? What did he do? This man is awful. He deserves to die. And then the prophet Nathan points David square in the eye and says, "You are that man." And then what happens is we hear about God's judgment. Listen closely to the timeline. We hear about God's judgment. I'm going to read it for you, just so you know I'm not just making this stuff up. Listen closely to the judgment here. So Nathan says it's you, and Nathan says, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die, but because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." Now listen very closely. You think, well, that doesn't sound very much like God. Listen closely. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. What? The Lord doesn't strike children with illness? I'm reading it right from the page, guys. The Lord struck this child with an illness that he shortly later died of. You understand this, right? This actually is a phenomenal illustration for the fear of the Lord message, if that's what we were preaching about. But we're not. We're preaching about the struggle is real and being honest with ourselves. Now listen real closely to this timeline. I want to ask you, you don't have to shout it out, but just think. Did David confess his sin, or was he caught out? You don't have to answer. You're welcome to, but just think about that for a second. Did David confess his sin, or was he caught out? He was caught out. Yeah, he was caught out. This is important, and this is how we know he's caught out. First of all, think about this. When Bathsheba sends message to David that she's pregnant with child, this life inside of her is not enough to stir David to do the right thing and confess. It's not enough. It ought to be, but it's not. So then the child is born. I know enough about biology to know it takes about 9 months. And so for 9 months, King David kept this hidden until the child was born. And only then, once he was busted, did he confess. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to focus on 2 points. The first point is the timeline in which David responded, because he was covering this thing up. Now, we don't know what God may or may not have done. We don't know if David confessed right away and said, "Man, I made a huge mistake. Please forgive me." We don't know if that child would have lived or not. We don't know that. But we know that he didn't, and we know that the child died. And this is why I said it could be a great message for the fear of the Lord. But here's the thing. We talked on night one that God is sovereign, which means that he is in control of everything, all the time, everywhere. Everything that happens in your life, in my life, is either actively caused or passively allowed by God. But make no mistake about it, nothing gets past the Lord. He is sovereign. You know what that does? That strikes a bit of fear into my heart. Because at any one point, if the Lord was to remove his hand of grace from my life, what would I be left with? Nothing good. All I would be left with is myself. And you know what's in myself? Nothing but bad, wicked thoughts. The Bible says so. I'm not making this stuff up. The Bible says so. I'm a wretched sinner. I rebel against my very creator. I've sinned. The punishment for that is death. And so should the good Lord remove his hand of grace from my life, I'm in so much trouble. And so what that does is it causes me to say, "Well, Lord, I need to give it to you what I'm wrestling with." And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about surrender and what that means in a bit more of a practical way. But tonight, I want to encourage you to search your heart and say, "What is it that I need to confess to the Lord?" Now, this example, this is very important. This example is about sin and confessing sin. Okay, I want to open it up a little bit more. I mean, yes, you're welcome to confess sin to the Lord tonight. But I want to open up a little bit more. Not, don't just think about sin, but think about what is it that you need to be honest with. Because if God is our source of help, if God is our source of strength to do what he needs us to do and accomplish the will he has for us, ought we not to seek that and say, "God, this thing in my life, it's preventing me from connecting with you and preventing me from experiencing your help and strength in my life." And so what it does for me is it stirs me up in such a way where I say, I need to be honest with the Lord. And here's what's really interesting, and this is why the timeline of what King David did is so ironic. Okay, listen to this. So when Nathan confronts him, and you don't have to put this up on the screen. When Nathan confronts him, this is what we read. I have sinned against the Lord. That's it. I have sinned against the Lord. I thought, that's not much of a confession. That's not much of a repentance. And then I remembered. Hold on a second. In the book of Psalms, King David writes in the book of Psalms. And I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read it fast because there's a lot here. And just listen closely. It's not going to be on your screens. But this is the psalm that King David writes when he's busted. And this is what it is. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse my sin from me. For I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. He goes on and on and on until the scripture that I read before. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take from me your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So just camp there just for a second. So do you see what we witness in this failing of David? Is we witness a fork in the road where David chooses to hide and to cover up. He's choosing not to be honest with the Lord. He's choosing not to be honest with anyone. And he could have at any time. And then finally the Lord says, okay, enough's enough. I'm stepping in. And this man was right. He was busted because the Lord sent Nathan to David. See, make no mistake, God is sovereign and God says, this is not okay. And so God stepped in, sent Nathan to King David, who, by the way, if you know the history of Israel, if you cross a king, you'll be dead. You literally will be dead. Kings have ultimate power. So the very fact that Nathan was going to the king, he had to use wisdom to know how to approach it, lest he himself be killed. And so then King David, once it's found out, then there's a legitimate transformation that goes on. He bows his knee and he repents. But we know that the child died. Tragic story of adultery and murder and a child dying. When I read this story, guys, it moves me to say, Lord, what is there in my heart that I am not giving? What is it in my heart that I am holding dear to that I say I will never tell anybody? And we had an issue in the church one time. It was a horrible situation, and you know, an adulterous situation. And when it was caught, the guy said to me, I was planning to take that to my grave. I would never tell a single soul about it. And the Lord intervened in his life. And the Lord is gracious and merciful and full of compassion. And in that situation, everything worked out good. But what I want to do tonight with the remaining time is I want to stir you in such a way that you would search your heart, not just for sin. I mean, yes, it's always good to confess sin. We should do it daily. But not just sin. Maybe you've been praying for something for so long and it hasn't happened. And your heart's become frustrated towards the Lord. I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to admit the struggle's real. I don't want you to pretend and smile and say, yeah, I'm nailing it. I want you to say, God, I'm struggling. See, God created us in relationship with one another for this very reason, that you don't have to be alone. It is okay to be not okay. And there are people around that you can go to and you can share what your struggle is. And you could say, I'm failing. I'm failing in this area. In the book of James, we read this. Again, it's not going to be on your screen. The book of James says that when we're tempted, we don't say we're tempted by God. What happens is this. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, beloved brethren. I read that. And it stirs me. And I'll tell you why it stirs me. Because not only is there hope in those situations, not only is there hope in no matter what struggle you're facing, but also you have this linear timeline that's laid out that says now is the time. Do not let this thing fester and grow until it brings forth death. In the David narrative, we see that exact thing, that this sin is left, and not only that, but covered up and compounded with murder. And it led to death. And yet we have this beautiful bird's eye perspective about what God did in David's life. We get to see, we get to be warned ahead of time that listen, there are desires in our hearts which left unchecked give birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, that's going to bring forth death. Don't let that happen. And we have relationship because God made it this way, and he put us in relationship with one another, that you are part of a church and part of a gathering and part of a friendship circle where there are people you can go to and say, listen, this is embarrassing, but I'm struggling. It is okay to not be okay. And I want to encourage you, don't let things fester. Don't let it grow. Don't let it develop into something more sinister. Don't let it get away from you. Don't let it be 10 pounds. Actually, it's just another 10 pounds now. We're halfway. 10 pounds. Wait a minute. It's a full 40 pounds. Don't let that happen. Now's the time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up just as I lead us into some prayer here. As we do that, just reflect on David's words when he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." We were talking about that last night. And I want to tell you this. I believe this with every fiber of my being, that no matter what you are facing, no matter what you have done, no matter what you are hiding, no matter what you are covering up, God is greater. Amen. God is greater. And he is giving you this option, this opportunity, this early timeline. He's saying, get off this train now before it leads to death. And what we do is in our pride and in our confidence in who we are, we say, no, I can fix this. I can stop anytime. No. It's okay to not be okay. And I want to encourage you. We're going to worship God together tonight. But I want to encourage you. That thing that you're thinking of right now, as I've been speaking, and you say, I can never tell anybody about my struggles with pornography. I can never tell anybody my struggles with bitterness towards my friends. I can never tell anyone my struggles about my gambling. I can never tell anyone my struggles about my thought life. That you're wrong. You can tell someone. You can tell the one that has already paid the price for those things.
That's right.
Because while you were still enemies of God, he hung on that cross and he died for you. He died for these very things that you're thinking of right now. I want you to confess them to the Lord. Whether it be sin, fear, doubt, insecurity. I want you to confess them to the Lord. When we do that, this is the last thing before we go into worship. When we do that, it's important to understand. We don't need to confess to the Lord because he lacks information. You understand that, right? We're not confessing to the Lord because he does not already know. Believe you me, every single thought that you've thought and action that you've done and word that you've said, he already knew it before you were even created. I know you can't wrap our heads around that as a finite, sinful human being. But know that. I would give my life for that truth. So when we confess to the Lord, we are not giving him information that he lacks. What we are doing is we are declaring that we can't do it. And when we are weak, we are strong, because he steps in and he takes care of those things that need addressing that we can't do. And so don't leave this place tonight with that "I can fix this" attitude. I can get better at this. I can stop anytime. Don't leave this place tonight with this burden. Because I guarantee you right now, the thing that you're thinking of and the thing that you're feeling right now is causing great burdens upon you. But the Lord says, no, give it to me. And tomorrow, when we talk about surrender and what that looks like, we're going to talk about some of these very things that you're thinking of right now and how we deal with them. But I want you to start this journey by you confessing to the Lord that the struggle is real, that you're going to stop faking it, and you're going to say, Lord, I can't do it. And whatever it is that you're wrestling with, whatever it is, that thing that you said, I can never tell a single other human being about this, confess it to the Lord. Because he already knows. And not only does he already know, but he loves you in spite of those things, that he would give his very life just so you can be reconciled to him because of his great love for you. Can we stand together and we worship God together? And I want to encourage you, if you need to remain seated, that's fine. You are welcome to come up to the front here. What we would like to do as a leadership team is we would like to pray and stand with you. I believe that when we're struggling, that we need someone to come alongside us and say, hey, I'm with you, man. I got this with you. We can stand before the Lord together in your struggles. And so I want to encourage you, as we worship, I want to encourage you to come to the front here so that we can pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to say anything about what it is. And furthermore, this is not a sin issue all the time. So don't be looking around saying, oh, I wonder what their sin is. I wonder what their sin is. Every one of you is a sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. So don't be trying to guess people's sins, okay? I knew it. I knew he was. No, we are all struggling together. And as you come forward, myself, Pastor Aubrey, and Deborah, and Pastor Andrew, and whoever else is, Lisa can join us. And we're just going to pray over you. And all we're going to do is say, whatever you want to confess to the Lord, we stand with you. Let's worship together.